It was the silent time before dawn, along the shores of what had been one of the most beautiful lakes in southern Africa. For almost a decade now, little rain had fallen. The earth had baked. The water had lowered and become increasingly brackish. The hippopotamus, lying with only her nostrils exposed, knew intuitively that she must soon quit this place and move her baby to some other body of water. But where, and in what direction, she could not decipher. The herd of zebra that came regularly to the lake edged their way down the bare, shelving sides and drank with reluctance the fetid water. One male, stubbornly moving away from the others, pawed at the hard earth, seeking to find a sweeter spring. But there was none. Two female lions, who had been hunting fruitlessly all night, spotted the individualistic zebra, and by arcane signals indicated that this was the one they would tackle when the herd left the lake. For the present, they did nothing but wait in the dry and yellow grass. Finally, there was a noise. The sun was still some moments from the horizon when a rhinoceros, looking in its grotesque armor, much the same as it had for the past 3 million years, rumbled down to the water and began rooting in the soft mud, searching for roots and drinking noisily through its little mouth. When the sun was about to creep over the two conical hills that marked the eastern end of the lake, a herd of eland came to drink, big, majestic antelopes that moved with rare grace. And when they appeared, a little brown man, who had been watching through the night, hidden in deep grass, whispered a prayer of thanks. If the eland come, there is still hope. If that rhinoceros stays, we can still eat. Gumsto was typical of his clan, 4 feet 10 inches high, yellowish-brown in color, thin and extremely wrinkled. Indeed, there were few areas of his body that did not contain deep indentations, and sometimes within a square inch, 12 lines would run up and down, with 8 or 9 crisscrossing them. His face looked like the map of a very old watershed, marked by the trails of 1,000 animals. And when he smiled, showing small white teeth, these wrinkles cut deeper into his countenance, making him look as if he were well past 90. He was 43, and his wrinkles had been with him since the age of 22. They were the mark of his people. The clan for which he was responsible numbered 25. More would prove too difficult to feed, fewer too vulnerable to attacks from animals. His consisted of himself as leader, his tough old wife Karu, their 16-year-old son Gao, plus assorted males and females of all ages and all possible relationships. The safety of this clan was his obsession, but at times he could be diverted. When he looked up to greet the sun, as he did each morning, for it was the life-giver, he saw the 2 rounded hills exactly like a woman's breasts, and he thought not of the safety of his clan, but of Nauka. She was 17, widowed when the rhinoceros now drinking at the lake killed her hunter husband. Soon she would be eligible to take a new mate, and Gumsto looked on her with longing. He realized that his wife was aware of his passion, but he had a variety of plans for circumventing her opposition. Nauka had to be his. It was only reasonable, for he was the leader. His attention was deflected by a thunder of hooves. Zebra lookouts had spotted the 2 lions and had sounded retreat. Like a swarm of beautifully colored birds, the black and white animals scrambled up the dusty bank of the lake and headed for safety. But the male, who had seen fit to wander off, dissociating himself from the herd, now lost its protection, and the lionesses, obedient to plan, cut him off from the others. There was a wild chase, a leap onto the rear quarters of the zebra, a piteous scream, a raking claw across the windpipe. The handsome animal rolled in the dust, the lions holding fast. Gumsto, watching every movement in the attack, muttered, "That's what happens when you leave the clan."